Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
I've been a strong critic of New York Times when it's needed, when they mess up stories or when they don't do a good job covering issues. This is beyond the pale. I mean, this is Stalinesque rewriting of history to serve a political agenda.
You can support or oppose Vought's nomination, but opposing him because of his theological views is at the very least a violation of the spirit of the Constitution.
The kids have to carry the cross. The adults put the cross down and the children pick it up. That's what divorce means.
Paul says that we participate in the sufferings of Christ. That suffering, Hebrews 12, is a discipline like a father has for a child.
Big news out of the Supreme Court on this Monday afternoon. A case that many had been watching, Trinity Lutheran versus Comer, a ruling was handed down today that was favorable to Trinity Lutheran, who had, well, had its access to some public funds challenged in Missouri. It's a story we've talked about before here on Issues Etc., and it has not only to do with public funding, but it has to do with church and state, and it has to do, in a lot of ways, with the free exercise of religion, something that is not well understood nowadays, apparently. At least the court continues to understand it correctly. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, June the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Matthew Frank of the Witherspoon Institute will be joining us for the first half hour or so to talk about that court case. Also, an announcement from the Supreme Court that they will hear the case of Masterpiece Bake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. Bakers being required to violate their consciences. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, with Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And then we'll spend some time with Dr. Dean Winthy, remembering along with the church on this day, the prophet Jeremiah. Feel free to join us over the next 2 hours with your questions or your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about two Supreme Court-related issues, today's Supreme Court decision in Trinity versus Comer and today's announcement that the court will hear the case of Masterpiece Bake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission, Dr. Matthew Frank, director of the William E. and Carol G. Simon Center on Religion and the Constitution for the Witherspoon Institute based in Princeton, New Jersey, professor emeritus of political science at Radford University, where he taught constitutional law, American politics, and political philosophy. Dr. Frank, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Very glad to be with you.
Justice Sotomayor had this to say along with the ruling today, obviously in dissent from the majority there. This case is about nothing less than the relationship between religious institutions and the civil government, that is, between church and state. The court today profoundly changes that relationship by holding for the first time that the Constitution requires the government to provide public funds directly to a church. What do you make of that reaction? How do you respond?
I think that Justice Sotomayor badly overreacted to a very reasonable ruling. A ruling I dare say she should have joined. The case was 7-2 with the quite liberal Justice Breyer concurring in the judgment in a brief opinion, and Justice Elena Kagan joining Chief Justice Roberts' majority opinion silently, in other words, in complete agreement with it. Justice Sotomayor was joined only by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I think, as I said, she overreacts. She describes this ruling in somewhat apocalyptic terms as dealing a serious blow to the separation of church and state. Mind you, she argued not just that the state of Missouri was permitted by the First Amendment to deny any funding to Trinity Lutheran Church as an equal applicant for this state playground resurfacing program. She went further. She said that the First Amendment actually forbids Missouri, and presumably any other state, from permitting a church to enter the field of applications on an equal footing with secular institutions, running a daycare, running a preschool, or some such thing. Really, I think a shockingly, I dare say, obsolete, strict separationist reading of the First Amendment. Practically no scholar of any repute holds to such an old school strict separationism of the kind that's really been out of fashion among legal scholars and judges for 30 years. So I don't know where Justice Sotomayor gets this idea that the First Amendment actually forbids Missouri to give Trinity Lutheran funding for its resurfacing, but Chief Justice Roberts gave a very reasonable account of why the program of denying church access to these funds was unconstitutional. It simply treats religious institutions on an unequal footing, discriminating against them because of nothing more than their status as religious institutions. But Justice Sotomayor, apparently thinks that letting kids play in a playground is somehow an occasion for proselytization of them into the Christian faith that the state must keep at greater than arm's distance from, which is, I grant her, she's trying in her own way to respect the pervasively religious character of a church institution. And yes, Trinity Lutheran Church regards everything it does as being, given up to the glory of God and to bring people to Jesus. I get that, and I can kind of understand that perspective by Justice Sotomayor, but really, this is nothing at all like giving state funding to the operations of worship services or, paying the minister's salary or any such thing.
You've alluded to it here, but can you kind of outline the circumstances of Trinity Lutheran versus Comer? What brought this case to the court?
Sure. The state of Missouri has a program that, it has a sort of environmental purpose, among other things. There's a lot of recycled automotive tires that wind up in landfills and so on, and that is unrecycled tires. The state of Missouri is interested in having those tires recycled and having them recycled for, some positive use in schools and in daycares, preschools, that sort of thing. So to facilitate the conversion of these recycled tires into a pourable surface that will cover a playground, such as the one at Trinity Lutheran in Columbia, which has a pea gravel playground that kids can skin their knees on, when they fall off the jungle gym or something, the state permits qualified applicants to apply for a grant to finance this playground resurfacing using the recycled tires. It's a great idea for scrap tire reuse. Well, Trinity Lutheran applied for a $20,000 grant for a $38,000 project that they would raise the rest of the money for themselves, and they actually placed fourth in the competitive application process to obtain this funding. And they would have gotten the funding but for one thing. There is a section, an article of the Missouri Constitution dating from the 19th century, which forbids the state to disperse any money from the state treasury to any church or religious institution. And this was interpreted reasonably enough on its own terms by the Missouri Supreme Court as forbidding the participation of Trinity Lutheran or any other church in this competitive application program. But that's, the Missouri Constitution is trumped by the U.S. Constitution as it's been read for many years now as incorporating the First Amendment religious liberty clauses to apply against the state. So it went to the Eighth Circuit Court, Federal Appeals Court, and the circuit court, I think it was the circuit court that ruled on this. I have to check. But in any event, when the case finally reached the U.S. Supreme Court, they said, no, this actually violates the free exercise clause of the First Amendment. Yes, I see now. The case actually proceeded not through the Missouri Supreme Court, but from the first from the federal district court, then to the Eighth Circuit, and finally to the Supreme Court. But the upshot of the case is the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution trumps this so-called Blaine Amendment of the Missouri Constitution. There's reason to believe that provisions like this one in the Missouri Constitution and in the constitutions of many other states, that these were put in state constitutions out of anti-Catholic animus many years ago in the late 19th century, at a time when Protestant schools were getting state funding and some anti-Catholic politicians wanted to prevent state funding from treasuries going to Catholic schools in competition with those Protestant schools. So on the supposition that the Protestant schools were actually not run by a single religious institution but by multiple religious institutions, these provisions were artfully crafted to prevent any state funds going to a, not multiple, but a religious institution. So that's what froze out Trinity Lutheran. Ironically, given the history of the amendment, not a Catholic church, but a Lutheran one, of course. And they've won a great victory here, a great victory for religious freedom, for the equal treatment of religious and secular institutions. And it's really quite overdrawn, overwrought of Justice Sotomayor to complain about some serious inroads on the separation of church and state.
What are the national implications for this decision by the court today?
Well, there's no open reference by the court to other similar Blaine amendments around the country, but I think that this is an important precedent that will be noticed by state and federal courts alike, and we may see similarly framed provisions in many other state constitutions falling as a consequence. I think that it's actually a good news story for the equal treatment of churches. And, you know, there are other possible implications. This friendliness to religion might spill over into the Masterpiece Cake Shop case that the court announced today. It would hear in the term that begins on October 2nd. So that's another possibility.
So I guess that was what I was wondering about before we let you go, and that is the court did announce that it would listen and hear the case of Masterpiece Bake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission in a nutshell. What is that case about, and what's at stake there?
Well, there's a gentleman named Jack Phillips who runs Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado. Like many people in this specialty bakery business, he does custom wedding cakes. And he declined to do a cake for a same-sex wedding a few years ago. A complaint was lodged with the Civil Rights Commission, which charged him with discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Now, like other similar cases, such as Baronel Stutzman's case, the florist in Washington State, there's actually no evidence of sexual orientation discrimination in Mr. Phillips's case. He would be perfectly willing if he had, on the shelf cakes ready to go, generic cakes for any occasion, or cupcakes or brownies or something. He would be perfectly willing to sell those to anyone who walked in a store and asked for them. He would have no interest in their sexual orientation. Instead, what he was claiming was a right not to be compelled to use his artistic gifts, his expressive gifts — there's really a kind of a free speech aspect to this as well — his expressive and artistic gifts to participate in the celebration of something that as a Christian he cannot conscientiously regard as an authentic marriage. He said, I'll sell you a cake, but I won't design a wedding cake for two men or two women. Now, this is a very straightforward freedom of conscience claim, ought to be protected by any reasonable reading of the First Amendment. And yet many such cases, like Baronel Stutzman's in Washington, have come out badly without, I think, a proper recognition of the religious freedom dimension of these cases. But, how it will turn out, I don't know. I rather think it'll be a 5-4 case, and we'll be wondering for some months now which way Justice Anthony Kennedy will jump in the case.
How important is Kennedy's presence on the court for all these kinds of cases with about a minute.
I think it's hugely important. There's speculation that he might be retiring. We could learn that he is retiring by the end of this week, perhaps. Justice O'Connor in 2005 waited about 4 days after the court's final day to announce her retirement. But I don't think he'll go. I think he'll participate in this case. And then what we'll see is, as in many other cases, attorneys crafting their briefs and their oral arguments specifically with a view to winning the heart and mind of Justice Anthony Kennedy. It's rather unfortunate that that's the pickle we're in, but there it is.
Dr. Matthew Frank is director of the William E. and Carol G. Simon Center on Religion and the Constitution for the Witherspoon Institute based in Princeton, New Jersey. He's professor emeritus of political science at Radford University, where he taught constitutional law, American politics, and political philosophy. You'll find a link to the Witherspoon Institute at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Frank, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Todd.
Religious liberty will be one of the topics at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Houston, Texas. Mark and Molly Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Fox News will be making the case for religious liberty. Registration is $120 and includes 3 meals. Child care for the conference is free. You can register by check. Just send it along with a registration application that you can download at issuesetc.org. You can also register online at our website. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. When we come back, it's time to look forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fikancher, according to the 3-year lectionary, and headed toward the gospel reading, I Have Come Not to Bring Peace But a Sword, in Matthew 10. Stay tuned.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Religious liberty, Christians engaging the media, the for you of Christianity, Christian marriage, the sexual revolution, the Benedict option. These are some of the topics for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has you covered. Check out the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.